Hey, this is Pastor David Winston, and welcome to the Go Hard for Christ podcast. I hope this message encourages and inspires you as you become all that God has designed you to be. This morning, we're going to start a brand new topic. What's our topic called, Nikki? Growing in discipleship. Now, if you all know that our pastor, Dr. Winston, my father, he has proclaimed that this year is the year of discipleship. So we want to stay right in that vein. We're going to talk about how to grow in discipleship for the next some and some weeks. But for today, I want to start off with one of the most important facets of that. There's a couple of really important things. But one of the most important keys about this, about growing in God and in discipleship, is Bible reading. I want to hear a loud amen.
Amen.
Come on. I need y'all to talk to me today. We ain't in class. Talk to me. It's me. It's your boy. Talk to me. Thank you so much in the back. Praise God. Talk to me. We can talk. We're going to have a little fun. How to read the Bible is what we're going to talk about today. Now, let me ask you a question. In the last month, how many of y'all read your Bible? Oh, that's good. That's most of y'all. Let me ask another question. Okay. How many of y'all have kind of a regular Bible reading routine, maybe in the morning or at night, maybe with parents or friends or families? Okay. Some of y'all. Good, good, good. And hey, this is not to condemn you if you don't. What I'm here to do is inspire you. Say inspire.
Inspire.
I'm here to inspire and encourage you that if you don't already, I want to help you get on a plan. Say get on a plan.
Get on a plan.
We're going to get on a plan. Now, I used to be a personal trainer, and people would come to me about their health goals, right? They might want to get stronger or more fit. They might want to try to bulk up and put on some muscle like me, or my wife thinks I'm strong. Thank you so much. Or they might be trying to lose weight or something. And so the first thing we would do is we would analyze where they're at and then get them on a plan so they can reach their goals. How many of y'all want to get closer to God? That's mostly everybody. I'm going to believe in your heart, a lot of people, you want to, but it's not just enough to want to. It's not just enough to intend to. You got to have a plan. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got to have a plan. Turn to your other neighbor, the good looking one, say, you got to have a plan. You got to have a plan. Because we can get to March. We can get to July, even September, Jarrell. And be like, dog, I meant to open that Bible last month. I ain't got to it yet. All right, let's talk about how to read the Bible. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for giving us your word, which is first place in our lives. That's the ultimate authority for our lives. We thank you that you and your word are one. Now, Lord, I ask you that as I decrease, that you may increase. As I step back, you may step forward. I thank you, Lord, that the word of God would come out unhindered and unchecked by any outside force, and that the seed of this word would go into every heart and bear forth much good fruit, and that you would help us by the agency of your Holy Spirit, create a customized Bible plan, Lord. Give us a cultivation, a desire, a hunger to read the word, understand it, and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now let me ask a question, okay? Does anybody follow a celebrity or an influencer or an athlete closely on social media, so closely that you feel like you know them? You don't have to raise your hand. I see a couple heads shaking now. But I feel like some of y'all might say, yeah, I know. And it's funny, right? Like, you can follow them so closely that if you saw them on the street, you would say, hey, what's up? What's up, man? How you doing? And they'd be like, bruh, hold on. I don't know you. Now, they don't know you, but you know them. And because you've studied, you've followed, you've looked at their life, you've examined them, you've seen their opinions, you've seen their judgments on things, their thoughts, because of all that, you feel close to them, even though they don't know you. Imagine you can do that with anybody. Notice, they don't have to know you for you to know them. But you can even do that with God, who actually does know you. And a lot of times, young people want to get closer to God or feel closer to God without taking time to actually get closer to him. to study, to examine, to know God. I mean, we can follow God through the Bible just like social media accounts. Every time somebody's posting, we get the notification. Every time on the TikTok, on the Snapchat, on the da-da-da-da-da, whatever your chosen social media platform is. But imagine if we followed God with that much consistency, right? We're reading what he says, how he is, how he responds, how God thinks. Man, that's great, right? We can't grow a relationship that we never pay attention to. That's how we grow our relationship with God. Part of Bible reading is growing our relationship with God. Now, the Bible is a faith book. Say faith. So we have to read it through the lens of faith. It is not just a history book. It is not just a narrative book. It's not just a book of good short stories or good principles. It has some of that embedded into it, but it is a faith book. So we got to read it by faith, right? We got to understand it through a lens of faith. Now, some people argue that the Bible is flawed. Now, I want to say this before us get started. The people who wrote the Bible, all of the writers, they were men because it was a sexist society, but they were men. And the men were people just like us. And those men were flawed people. Did y'all know that?
Yes.
They weren't perfect people. There was only one perfect, Jesus. And he technically didn't write anything he was written about, though, and his parables were recorded. There was only one perfect, but everybody else was flawed. But just because the writers are flawed, don't you start thinking God is flawed. The writers might be humans who are flawed. God is not. That's the important thing to remember. God is not flawed. It actually says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. I don't know if I have that. Do I have that in the PowerPoint? Actually, you know what? Let me go to this before I go to that scripture. Go to the next slide. I want to give you some warnings. Charles Spurgeon says this. A Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. Oh, yeah. Now, some of y'all said, I don't have no paper Bible. My Bible online. It's on the app. Well, hey, you'll get it. You'll catch it. Next one. Next slide. Here's another warning. Warning. Bible usage can be habit forming. Regular reading of the Bible can cause loss of anxiety and fear, and a decreased appetite for impatience and anger. Symptoms include increased love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If symptoms persist, just praise the Lord. Come on, somebody praise him. Come on, you better get, these are good symptoms. Now, how many of y'all want that? I want that in my life. I'm trying to get diagnosed with Bible addiction. Come on, y'all. We awake this morning. Go to the next slide for me, please. All right. So before I read that, I want to read 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. I'm going to read out of the New King James Version. It says this. Be diligent. Say, I'm diligent.
I'm diligent.
That was half of y'all. Say, I'm diligent.
I'm diligent.
To present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, if you can rightly divide the word of truth, Bryce, that would lead me to conclude, in my lightning fast mind, that I might be able to wrongly divide the word of truth. Or else it would just be dividing the word of truth. It wouldn't be rightly dividing the word of truth. So when we read the Bible, there's some things that we want to keep in mind so we don't get to wrong conclusions. Because sometimes wrong conclusions drive people to wrong actions and behaviors, right? We have seen people do some messed up stuff in the name of the Lord. Do you know that slave masters used to use scripture as a way to keep people in slavery? What? It's true. They would try to weaponize the scriptures. That's something to keep people in bondage. Now, we know that that's not the heart of God. But how did they get to that conclusion? They wrongly divided the word of truth. The enemy's after your generation. And you know how he's after it? Through biblical illiteracy. Illiteracy means you don't know what God says. That's how the enemy is after you. But it's not going to be you. Say, not me.
Not me.
So three things we want to remember when we read the Bible. Let's keep going. Let's go. Number one, how do we read the Bible? We got to keep in mind context. Say context. What was happening in the text surrounding the text? What's happening? What's going on? Has anybody ever received a long text message before and your eyes just zero in on like one line or one sentence of the text message and you start feeling a kind of way? Like, wait, what they say? What they say? Or, you know, you start to go to a place mentally and then you read the whole message. You're like, oh, my bad. My bad. You had half your reply already typed out. It was just the Holy Spirit that helped you not hit send. Context is important. It's not just about that one line, but reading that one line, lifting it out of the text, and then taking it at face value would have led you to an inappropriate conclusion. So we don't want to lift the text from the text. We want to actually keep the text in the text. And what I found is that when we keep the text in the text, when we read the text surrounding the text, it actually brings more strength to the specific text.
Amen. That's
good. So what does this mean? I want to give you an example. Thank you so much. Praise God. I want to give you an example that one of our speakers at last year's Freedom Conference, we were having a conversation at the dinner table, and he gave this illustration. I thought it was a great illustration, made me laugh. And so we were talking about context, and he said, okay, what if it's 3000 AD, right? So we're almost 1000 years forward now. And so there's a lot of modern advancements. Things are crazy. Think of a movie or something. You know, things are really futuristic. And so they go to a certain part of Earth or certain part of the United States, and they dig up something. And they dig up something that we know as a helmet of a football player. And so on this one helmet of a football player, you got a dolphin. And on the other helmet of a football player, you have a hawk, right? For the Atlanta Hawks. Come on, Atlanta Falcons. And so you got a falcon, and then you got a dolphin. And they see this the sticker on the helmet. And now there's no NFL for them. This is 1,000 years forward, right? There's no NFL. As a matter of fact, all leisure sports have discontinued. So they don't know anything about leisure sports. I know it's hard to think about, like, what? What would they do with their time? And so there's no football. They know nothing of football, but all they know is what history records. But because history doesn't talk a lot about our leisure sports, but they still do have falcons, birds, and they still do have dolphins, now they think, wait a minute, wow, these symbols, these look like the animals, and maybe somehow they were able to have some kind of competition. Were they able to have the falcon and the dolphin fight each other? Wow, that was amazing. They were able to have the falcon and dolphin square off against each other in some kind of combat. This must have been something that they liked to do for fun, or maybe they had to do it, or maybe this is the way they treated their pets. Now, this sounds foolish to us, right? A dolphin versus a falcon. Who's going to win? Had nothing to do with that. A dolphin and the Miami Dolphins and the Atlanta Falcons were two NFL teams. And they fought or squared off against each other. They versed each other when they came to a field in the NFL, which was all for leisure, but it was a profession for some. That's context, right? But for others, they can think, oh, these animals were fighting each other. See, they went to an inappropriate conclusion because they didn't have context. Yeah. So let me give you an example, something you guys can really sink into. Can you go, let me actually read this. Philippians 4:13, what does it say? Let's read it out loud. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now let's go to the next slide. All right. Whose shoe is this?
Steph Curry.
Steph Curry. Come on. 3-point champion of the world. And what does he have written on his shoe? Can you see it? It's real small. I can do all things. Man, and that's great, right? And I love Steph Curry, great basketball player, strong believer, love what he's done for the game of basketball. He's a family man. I support all of that. However, I'm sorry to pop some bubbles. Hold on. However, I'm treading carefully, Kenesha. In context, the Apostle Paul writes this verse to the church in Philippi. It's a whole book called Philippians. While he was awaiting trial and potential execution for preaching about Jesus' resurrection, Paul's encouraging the Philippian church through his example to endure their suffering by remembering that Christ, who overcame death, is the source of their strength. It was about finding inner strength when you're enduring spiritual adversity. It wasn't necessarily about being blessed with athletic or professional competitive edge. Now, what is true? God does give us strength, right? Yes. What is true? God wants us to compete in a way that glorifies him, right? However, when we see some of these things in society and we just kind of jump on the train and take it at face value, we might go to a conclusion that may not be within the context. And so we're thinking like, okay, I can do all things. I can run this race, or I can dunk this ball, or I can defeat this person in front of me. And hey, God does give you strength to do that. But really what God is giving you strength for is the spiritual matters that you're coming up against. And he's giving you strength to run the Christian race with endurance. Okay, let's go to the next slide. So number one, context. Number two, culture. This includes environment and history. Here's an example. It was part of the historical Jewish culture not to eat pigs or let women teach. How many of y'all like bacon? It's okay to put your hand up. Y'all know y'all like that swine. But for historical Jews, they didn't eat pigs. And so what if you now read a scripture talking about not eating pigs, and you're like, oh man, I'm not supposed to eat pigs. It's in the Bible. I'm not supposed to eat this bacon. You got to throw that bacon away. Now it might lead you to an inappropriate conclusion because you're not considering culture, right? We're 2,000 years removed from that culture. However, the principles of the word still apply, right? Here's another one. I'll give you another example. The number 40. Now, if you read the Bible, you'll notice the number 40 pops up a lot, right? There was when God brought the flood to the earth in the times of Noah. You remember Noah and the ark? And it said it rained how long? 40 days and 40 nights. What about the children of Israel? They were in the wilderness, and they were walking around the wilderness. They were in the wilderness for how many years? 40 years. Jesus, right before he started his ministry, he went up to into a desert and wilderness place to be tempted of the enemy. And it said that he fasted for how many days? 40 days. This number 40 is either God's favorite number, or maybe we're missing something. So I'm not saying that in any one of these occasions, the number 40 didn't literally mean 40. But what I am here to tell you is it was a Jewish colloquialism. You know what that means? That means that it was a figure of speech. If you said you ate a ton of bacon, I know what you mean in 2023, right? You probably had like 4 or 5 pieces of bacon. Some of y'all went 10 pieces deep. That's a lot of bacon, right? But if I was removed from your culture, I might think that you ate a literal 2,000 pounds of bacon. Because that's a ton, right? Because that's a colloquialism that we use. So I'm not saying that you have to know all this before you read the Bible, but these are really important things to note. Next slide. And then we're gonna dig in. How do we actually read? Next slide. The third thing, audience. Who was this being written to, right? So here's an example. The four Gospels were written to different audiences. Therefore, there are some variances. Let's go to the next slide. So the Gospel of Matthew is the most Jewish-centric gospel. It's speaking to specifically Jewish audience to convince them that Jesus is the promised Messiah or God. And this is the way we know that, because in Matthew, it doesn't say kingdom of God. It'll say kingdom of heaven a lot of times. The reason why they didn't say God is because they believed that the name of God was sacred. It was something you don't say. They put so much respect on God's name that they didn't even want to say it. And so they put kingdom of heaven instead. Mark is written, is a sermon that's written as a motivational call to action to Greeks. The purpose is not to be a detailed account, but rather a call to action to convert Greeks. Now, this is interesting, right? Let's go to the next slide, because you might wonder, like, why are there differences between the Gospels? Some stories are in, some stories are out, some parables are in here, some parables are over there. Luke is a detailed account of the life of Jesus, intended to appeal to the educated Greeks, who were a whole generation removed from the life and ministry of Jesus. It is intended to show the validity of Jesus Christ. Luke is a great book to read. Very detailed, very much written to those who need to be confirmed or affirmed in the faith, right? And then John, it hits different. Why does it hit different? It's not intended to convert, but it is written to fully devoted Christians in the church that John founded and led. This is an encouragement to believers to continue to believe on Christ. So it's more of an inspirational message, right? That's interesting. Some differences. Let's keep going. All right. So why are there different translations? I want to hit some of maybe the common questions you may have had before, and I don't want to take anything for granted. Why are there different translations? For better understanding and communication. So on this end, you have word-for-word translations. How many of y'all agree that King James Version can be kind of hard to understand sometimes? I was in a meeting earlier this week, and my dad had me reading some of the verses for him. And I feel like I read three chapters, and I do not like reading the King James Version out loud, because thee, thou, do, and yea are very hard for my brain sometimes to get without fumbling. And so anyway, so you got the King James Version all the way over on this side, the ESV, the AMP, the Amplified. And then you have over here, thought for thought. So you have the Living Bible, you have the New International Version, you have the Message Bible. And so you notice the Message Bible is very much common language, right? It's kind of like the way we talk, the way we would understand things. And so you have word for word, which is literal. They literally translated from Greek to English, or from Hebrew to English, or Aramaic to English. Y'all know that they actually weren't writing the Bible in English. It actually had to be translated. Let me stop right there. Does anybody know Spanish? A little bit? All right. Okay, so what if I said, me gusta la iglesia? Does anybody know what that means? I like church. But the literal translation is, the church is pleasing to me. Now, that doesn't make much difference for us. We understand what that means. But notice that there's actually a little bit of difference in translation. So there's actually a little bit of difference in translation, translating it from a different language. And so that's where you get the word for word. They tried to translate it as literal as possible. And then you get the thought for thought. They tried to translate the meaning of it. This is kind of the feeling of it. This is what they're trying to communicate. And that's why you have the different translations of the Bible. If you're looking for one that's more right in the center, the NIV Bible is a good Bible that's more so down the line traditionally, as they say. Let's keep going. So the Bible can be taken literally, yeah. But when not taken literally, we can take the principles or understand God's nature. We can still understand it. It says in Psalms chapter 119, verse 105, it says this, your word is a what? Your word is a what? A lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The word helps you see in life. So how do we read the Bible? Next slide. So how should we read the Bible? So first, and hey, if you want to take some pictures of this, please feel free to. I have four of these slides. They're very practical, okay? If you want to read the Bible, get something out of it. This is what we do. Set aside a time where you can focus in an environment that you can focus. That's pretty simple, right? Focus. Say focus. Now, if we try to read the Bible and we not focused, we distracted, we texting, we trying to listen to somebody else's music, something else going on. Like, our focus is off. So it's hard for that message to penetrate, right? Because we're just not even thinking about it. But you want to be able to focus. Pray before starting. Why? Because we want to ask God to show us, illuminate the scriptures to us. We want to invite him into this process. We are not just reading the Bible to cross it off the good Christian checklist. Oh, read Proverbs today. Boop. I'm all good with God. Let me go on my way. No. We want to get something out of this. It's not about the amount you read. It's not even about how much you read. It's about how much of what you read gets inside of you. Changes you, changes the way you think, the way you behave, and informs your decision-making process. Let's keep going. Have an open heart. That's really good. I've tried to read the Bible prideful before, right? Let's be real, right? Sometimes we don't want to change. We may be doing things or thinking things that are not godly. Maybe we're in a relationship that doesn't necessarily glorify God. And we want to stay in it because the flesh wants to do what the flesh wants to do. So maybe we'll read the Bible, but we will not be able to be put ourselves under its authority to change us. That's another thing. So we want to open up our heart, have an open heart. God, whatever you're saying, I'm going to receive it. And I'm going to let the word change me. This is really important. Don't try to change the word. Let the word change you. Amen. Amen. Let's say amen together.
Amen.
Ooh, that's good. Read whole chapters or passages at a time. Now, you can get something out of a single scripture. Absolutely, sure. But what we talk about was context, right? And so we want to get the whole fullness of what God is really trying to communicate. So whole passages or whole chapters really help. Even starting at the beginning of a book really helps you understand everything that God is really trying to say through that author to that audience. And we can glean from what's being said, what's being spoken. Let's keep going. I want it to be real basic with this. I don't want to assume. So when we talk about scripture, right, we'll say Proverbs chapter 31, verse 25. Turn to Proverbs chapter 21, verse 35. So on a Bible app or something electronic, you have, the rundown of books. But back in my day, we had an iPad. We had to memorize these here books of the Bible to be able to flip to it quickly. We would have competitions who would get there the quickest. Whoever could get there the quickest was the godliest. Just kidding. And so we would flip. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 25. That means that's the book name first. Then you're going to have the chapter number second. And so you don't have to write chapter. You can just write 31. And then colon, verse number, whatever verse number. And so it's real easy. And that's how you abbreviate, or that's how you tell somebody, you know, where you go, or that's how you know where to go. Let's keep going. You can choose a topic that's relevant to you or a Bible character to study. So you're like, okay, what do I study? Well, hey, there's different things you can do. Now, we'll talk a little bit more about this in just a second, but there's Bible reading plans. There's different kinds of reading plans. But I really feel like when you choose something that's relevant to you or a character that you really identify, it kind of gives you that extra level of interest, right? That I think is really helpful, especially as a teenager. That's really helpful to lock into. Discover what stands out to you and highlight it. Allow the word to speak to you. So here's what I'm a big believer in. Say, PD, what you believe? Man, y'all, come on. Say it again. PD, what you believe? I'm glad you asked. I'm a big believer in highlighting, underlying, circling, making it stand out to you. Because you never know when you need to go back and access it. Also, I'm going to tell you, once you finish reading the passage, go back to the highlighted verse or verses and spend 3 to 5 minutes meditating it. Ask yourself, why does this verse stand out to me? And ask God, what are you saying to me through this text? Ultra, ultra, ultra important. How important? Ultra important. Because when something speaks to you, there is a reason why, and the Holy Spirit is usually behind it. And that usually is the opportunity to shift, to change the way you think, behave, the way you're speaking or acting. So what you want to do is not glaze over that moment. You want to dive into that moment. Why does this speak to me? Could be something that's well-known scripture. Maybe this is obscure verse. I've never seen this. I don't even quite know what that means, but I feel like it's trying to hit me up in here. What does this mean? Take 3 to 5 minutes to just step back, close your eyes, just think. What could that mean? God, what are you saying to me through this text? And there's a lot of different resources you can use. I can't be quite as exhaustive as I'd like to be, but let's keep going. But it's important that you meditate. Write down any revelations or what you learned. What did you learn? That's really important. Hey, you know, some people have prayer journals. Some people have Bible study journals. Some people, you know, I do it in my notes app, right? Because what I've learned is God's revelation and his words to me are too important to walk away from the moment and not remember it. It's too important. It might be really important to that season that you're in life. Maybe it's a word of encouragement or correction or empowerment or direction. Come on, we need to know what to do. Set a goal for the Bible reading. I want to read the Bible 30 days in a row. Or I want to read it every morning before school. Or I want to read it before I go to bed, after school, after everything is done. Set a goal. Maybe how much of the Bible you want to get through. I want to get through the whole New Testament in the first half of the year. I'm a huge believer in goal setting. Use a study Bible or try different translations. If you're just starting out, start with the New International Version. That could be really, really helpful. And let's go a few more slides. Let's keep going. Be consistent in reading it if you really want to change. You can even let the Bible app read it to you. How many of y'all have the Bible app on your phone? Oh, okay, great. All right, you can even let it read it to you. I don't know if you've ever tried it, but hey, you can just press play and it'll read it. It'll narrate it. That's really cool. Try to develop a routine. I'm a big believer in habits and routines. There is no right or wrong order in which to read the Bible, but it can be helpful to start at the beginning of books rather than the middle. And lastly, decide to practice the word because it does us very little benefit when we don't. It says in James chapter 1, verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So, next slide. I think I have two more slides. Quickly, what do I read for daily devos? So this is just a very quick, brief overview, right? So Proverbs for wisdom and understanding, Psalms, wisdom, joy, thanksgiving. The Gospels is about Jesus. Pauline epistles, that means the books of the Bible that the Apostle Paul wrote for daily living and instruction. Then we have the Old Testament talking about the power of God, even the nature of God. And then Hebrews talks about faith. So you say, where do I start? Pastor Dave, I don't know what to do. One proverb, one psalm, one chapter of the New Testament a day. Now, some of y'all have your mouth open like, what? That's like 30 minutes of reading. That's okay. We can even start with one passage a day. Let's start with Luke, right? Luke in the New Testament. Just one passage, maybe passage by passage, chapter by chapter, maybe even parable by parable. The New International Version actually will break it up into segments of passages. Just go passage by passage. The most important thing is you don't be intimidated by reading the Bible. Just dive in. It's just like swimming. Dive in. How many of y'all like to swim? Come on, just dive in. I know sometimes they say black folks don't swim. We swim. Next slide. All right, the YouVersion Bible app. You can download this for free. You can go to the App Store, Google Play, or whatever else phone you have. You can download this. This has been downloaded, I think they said, over 500 million times or something. Most known Bible app in the world. It has all different translations. It's free 99, my favorite price. Please go. And they have Bible reading plans on there. 3-day plans, 5-day plans, topical plans. If you're going through depression, maybe you're going through a breakup, or maybe you need encouragement, or maybe you need peace, or maybe you need healing in your body. Or you want to think the right way. And so you need a little bit of transforming of the mind. It has all different Bible plans from all different authors from all over the world. And it's really, really great. So, and I think I have one more slide as another resource. Openbible.info, topical verses. Openbible.info has a great topical Bible that you actually, it's like a Google search, right? You just type in the word joy and boom, 100 verses on joy will pop up. Really cool, really quick to help you out. I think that's my last slide. Is that my last slide? Perfect, awesome. So the most important thing is you reading the word of God, right? Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for giving us your word today, teaching us your word.
Lord, we thank you for illuminating our hearts, that you are showing us who you are, who we are in you, what we have, what we can do, and what we are to do as ambassadors for you. I thank you, Father, that your word is alive and quick and powerful, is sharper than any two-edged sword. And Lord, I thank you that you are continuing to grow us and mature us as disciples through the holy word of God. Give us a passion to read the word, to know the word, and to know you. In Jesus' name. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed.
Thanks for listening to the Go Hard for Christ podcast. Be sure to subscribe so that you're notified every time we release a new episode. For more information about the youth ministry or upcoming events, you can visit us at gohardforchrist.com. Until next time, keep going hard for Christ.